The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to him, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, undoubtedly we all know at least someone in our lives, perhaps even a close friend, who is handicapped, whether in a wheelchair, maybe even homebound or bedbound. Can you go back to the first time you met that person and the sentiments in your heart upon meeting them? Or perhaps you know someone who has become handicapped since you've known them. And do you remember what you felt right after you heard that they were handicapped, or the first time you saw them? I recall a good friend of mine, one of my best friends in high school. We both went off to college. He went to Cal Berkeley, and he was starting on their rugby team, the national rugby team, the number one team in the country for 25 years. And I get a phone call one night, and he wrapped his car around a tree. He would never walk again. And I remember when I went to the hospital to see him, my first thought was, I want to bring him to Lourdes. I want to put him in the water so that God would give him the grace to walk again, if it be his will. Or I recall when I was first ordained and I came here to presentation, the very first weekend, there was a little 11-year-old boy whom I met after Mass. Actually, I saw him all through Mass because his wheelchair was right off the end of the pew, and his body was all contorted, all twisted up. And when I met him after Mass, I thought, "Lord, if you'll just heal him." And in fact, I said a prayer in that moment asking for the gift of healing. That was this paralytic man in the gospel. And these four men who were his friend had heard that there was this man who was healing everybody. And they thought, "Gosh, if we could just bring our friend to him." And they get to the door and there's so many people there, they let him down through the roof. And everyone is awaiting a healing finally for this man who suffered all these years. Our Holy Father Pope Benedict says, this man's existence was a cry out, a plea for his freedom. And what does our Lord say? "My son, your sins are forgiven." The Holy Father says, when I read that, I can't help but think that that was the last thing that everyone was expecting. It was the last thing that they were concerned about. The paralytic needed to be able to walk, not to be delivered from sins. The sick man and those around him were disappointed because Jesus had overlooked his real need. And our Holy Father says how often even the faithful first think of salvation in this life, some sort of physical healing, and overlook salvation for eternal life, the healing of the soul. And of course, our Lord ended up granting both to that man. You've heard me share the story of the lady who conned me into coming to her home. This elderly woman who called me early one morning. She says, "Father, I have a gift for you. I think it would be great for the church." And I get to her house, and she has a picture from her 8th grade graduating class from 1935 or something, a little Catholic school down in Southern California. And she thought it would look good in the rectory. I thought, okay, what am I going to do? It's not our rectory. It's not our school. But I thought it meant something to her. I went to her house. She spoke for 45 minutes. You know, going on and on. I had other things to do. And so I start to pray, okay, Holy Spirit, you got to get me out of here. There's other people I need to see. I've got the picture. And as I'm praying to the Holy Spirit, I thought, oh, Holy Spirit, if there's something missing, if there's something more, you know, bring that about. And all of a sudden, the woman goes silent. And she begins to cry. And she says, "Father, the reason I called you over here, it has nothing to do with the picture that I'm giving you. Father, I'm wondering if there's any way before I die." The day before, she found out she had 2 months left to live. She was dying of stomach cancer. "I'm wondering if there's any way before I die that I can receive Holy Communion just one more time. Father, it's been 60 years since I've gone to church." And in her words, she said, "I've lived a terrible, terrible life." And so I knew what she was asking. Can I go to confession? Can I really have 60 years of sins forgiven? I heard her confession. I was at her bedside 2 months later. She died several hours after I left. And seeing her die was one of the most repulsive scenes I've ever seen in my life. Dying of stomach cancer, she had not eaten or drinking anything in days. And because of that, her mouth was totally dry, and her tongue was all shriveled up. Her tongue was so swollen that it was sticking out of her mouth. And her lips were broken, were cracked, were bleeding. And I went in there just to say some final prayers to anoint her. And as I was doing so, I could tell that she was trying to talk. And no words could get out because of the size of her tongue. And there was a little dabber with some water. And I spent several minutes trying to moisten her lips and her tongue. And to the point where I could just barely tell what she was saying in a whisper. And I had to put my ear right down to her mouth. And I thought, here's this woman who's been away for 60 years. I hope these sufferings don't break her. Right? Is she going to be able to persevere in faith even through these trials? What she was saying when I put my ear to her lips were, "Father, Father, He loves me. He loves me. God loves me." And I said, "Yes, He loves you, and He wants you to go to heaven. And He'll bring you home soon." And then she said, "Father, Father, I love Him too." Her sins were forgiven. And she wasn't even conscious of the sufferings of her body. Our faith can help to bring salvation to people. And sometimes our Lord grants that it's through physical healing. But may we always seek above all else the healing of people's souls.